I had seen poverty before. Some of my New Hampshire classmates lived in cold water tar paper shacks and arrived at school wearing thin jackets and frayed tennis shoes on sub-zero winter days, their unwashed bodies reeking of old sweat and manure. I had lived in mud shacks with Andean peasants whose diet consisted almost entirely of dried corn and potatoes, and where it sometimes seemed that a newborn was as likely to die as to experience a birthday. I had seen poverty, but nothing to prepare me for Jakarta. Our team, of course, was quartered in the country's fanciest hotel, the Hotel Intercontinental Indonesia, owned by Pan American Airways, like the rest of the intercontinental chain scattered across the globe. It catered to the whims of wealthy foreigners, especially oil executives and their families. On the evening of our first day, our project manager, Charlie Illingworth, hosted a dinner for us in the elegant restaurant on the top floor. Charlie was a connoisseur of war. He devoted most of his free time to reading history books and historical novels about great military leaders and battles. He was the epitome of the pro-Vietnam War armchair soldier. As usual, this night he was wearing khaki slacks and a short-sleeved khaki shirt with military-style epaulets. After welcoming us, he lit up a cigar. "To the good life," he sighed, raising a glass of champagne. We joined him. "To the good life." Our glasses clinked. Cigar smoke swirling around him, Charlie glanced about the room. "We will be well pampered here," he said, nodding his head appreciatively. "The Indonesians will take very good care of us, as will the U.S. Embassy people, but let's not forget that we have a mission to accomplish." He looked down at a handful of note cards. "Yes, we're here to develop a master plan for the electrification of Java, the most populated land in the world. But that's just the tip of the iceberg." His expression turned serious. He reminded me of George C. Scott playing General Patton, one of Charlie's heroes. "We are here to accomplish nothing short of saving this country from the clutches of communism. As you know, Indonesia has a long and tragic history. Now, at a time when it is poised to launch itself into the 20th century, it is tested once again. Our responsibility is to make sure that Indonesia doesn't follow in the footsteps of its northern neighbors, Vietnam, Cambodia, and Laos. An integrated electrical system is a key element. That, more than any other single factor, with the possible exception of oil, will assure that capitalism and democracy rule." "Speaking of oil," he said. He took another puff on his cigar and flipped past a couple of the note cards. "We all know how dependent our own country is on oil. Indonesia can be a powerful ally to us in that regard. So as you develop this master plan, please do everything you can to make sure that the oil industry and all the others that serve it, ports, pipelines, construction companies, get whatever they are likely to need in the way of electricity for the entire duration of this 25-year plan." He raised his eyes from his note cards and looked directly at me. "Better to err on the high side than to underestimate. You don't want the blood of Indonesian children, or our own, on your hands. You don't want them to live under the hammer and sickle or the red flag of China."